Chapter 1, The End. After months of hard work, Opal, the mechanic class slave, was finally ready to send the machines on their way and at last bring this miserable project to a close. She sighed as she wiped a droplet of sweat from her brow. She tossed the Innitcaster into a tool bag, which rested on the ground. She glanced up at the large machine that stood next to her. The thick, massive legs of the mechanical quadruped stemmed from an equally thick and massive body. At the base of its chassis, bulbous eye-like devices encircled and clicked as they turned and observed the world around them. She slammed the panel door shut. Now that the last of the Verkatre was awakened, it could go along and do its job. Opal lifted her hand to her forehead, shielding the bright starlight of this particular Var from her eyes. She could feel the star's heat against her body, swarthy, almost burnt from exposure to this Var's climate. She sniffed the air, which smelled like dust and burning metal. She could see, in the distance, along the horizon, the long line of those lumbering machines, each equidistant from the other in a manner that was most efficient for them to do their work.
Well, that's another one down.
Her voice was cast with a tone of bitterness. She could feel the vibration of the Verkatre in the ground, especially from these large ones, the sleepers. Those giant extrusions on their backs always emitted that deep, rumbling groan, like an announcement to battle, like a thick, belching horn that made the ground vibrate under one's feet. The Varlings, whoever they were, Opal tried not to know, would never see them coming. They were not meant to be seen. They were designed this way. Not until the last moment, anyway. The Verkatros lumbered forward, its ocular devices clicking and turning with each of its steps. The extrusion on its back, like a hunch, started its work. Opal reached down and picked up the tool bag, slinging it across her shoulder. She jogged, steps behind the slow-moving sleeper. She always followed the sleepers around, just to make sure they were doing their job. It was the responsible thing. It was what a good mechanic class slave would naturally do. Opal's ankles turned on the dry, cracked ground. Small, scrubby brush poked its way through stony soil, its stems and leaves covered in thorny protuberances. Small yellow berries clung to their stems defensively among rocks and boulders that were baked into a yellow-red tinge. Among them, squat stone houses rose like empty turtle shells from the dry soil. Opal paused. The bodies were where they should be. They behaved according to plan. A Var dismantlement project was designed to be humane. The sleepers made sure of that. Except, it was the whimpering that caught Opal's attention, like a gentle, whispering cry, so light that it somehow cut through the deep, rumbling wails of the sleepers. She jogged toward the sound and glanced among the bodies that lay in the dust, scantily covered, skeletal. Among them, one small, almost miniature compared to the others, stood. Opal paused. Deep blue eyes inside dark ringed sockets gazed up at her. Opal clenched her teeth.
The damn sleeper missed its mark. How is that even possible?
She dropped her tool bag from her shoulder onto the ground and reached in. The others would be here any moment. The dismantlers, this child, should not witness their arrival. She turned the tool bag upside down. Its contents clanged onto the hardened soil.
Where is it? Where the hell is it?
She pushed tools and devices aside, turning and tossing them around.
Where is it?
She paused. Her eyes grew wide, her head cocked as if listening.
No, no, no. It can't be. This is not the way it's supposed to work.
She jumped up and turned, facing the direction from which she came. She could feel them now. The ground beneath her feet rattled, as if pounded all at once by thousands of hammers. She could see them now. Their bodies glinted in the light of this Var's apparent star. The high-pitched squeal as they rewrote the soil, the stone, the very ground beneath their feet. The constructors had arrived. Opal clenched her teeth and squared her body. the constructors would tear this world apart. It didn't matter if this Varling stood before them, if she witnessed the gruesome last moments of her own life and of those around her, the ground crumbling beneath her feet. Opal felt her throat tighten, her stomach turn. It was not meant to be this way. The sleepers should have done their job. They should have made sure that not a single Varling was awake to see what was coming for them. They should have... Opal screamed as she charged towards the oncoming Ferkatray. She stopped as she stood before those that moved towards the village, the constructor classes. They created, but they also destroyed. They would build the Vars, and they would also tear them down. They would shred the ground beneath their feet, returning this Vars matter to another form. One particular constructor stepped mechanically towards the child that stood alone. It would not stop. It would barely notice this child as something other than matter that needed to be redistributed.
They can't reach her. They mustn't. I can't let that happen.
Opal swallowed hard as she thought about those eyes. Those hollow, starving eyes that pleaded with her, that begged of her, an answer to the unanswerable question of why. Why didn't the sleepers do their job? The Verkatros was not as tall as the sleeper, but wider, sharper, crouched, its body flat and its nose poised towards the ground, its four legs spread wide, as if ready to jump at any moment. From its head emanated a stream of white plasmic light, like lightning that found its mark and did not relent in striking its target. Opal choked at the smell of burning metal and steeled herself against the blazing heat and the blinding flashes of light. Opal felt her chest tighten, a churning sensation in her core that welled up through her body, her heart pounding in her chest, her lips quivering.
I can't stop them. It's too late.
She glanced behind her, over her shoulder, at the small Varling. Tears formed in her eyes and streamed down her cheek.
It wasn't supposed to be like this. I can't let it end like this. Not like this.
She gazed up at the sky, at the bright, burning star that burned her face.
Not like this. To hell with this project. To hell with Griddish. I've had enough.
She rushed forward, shoulder down, as she slammed her body into the side of the oncoming Verkatros, bashing against its soft, organic, yet simultaneously hard metal body with her fists until they were bloody. She fell to the side. She gasped as her shoulder and chest throbbed with pain, her fingers and hands mangled and bloody. She watched as the Verkatros stumbled to one side, knocked off its trajectory for a moment, and then returned to its path.
Stupid! I'm so stupid!
She fell onto her side, her jaw clenched, the dust of the dying planet filling her lungs. She coughed and then grimaced.
What did you think you could do? You should know better. You're an idiot, Opal. A real fool. They can't be stopped. And yet, here you are, thinking you could somehow save these Varlings from their fate.
She shook her head.
I'm so tired. Tired of all this. Tired of the Vars and the Verkatray. Of the death, the violence. What right do we have?
The ground beneath her started to fizzle and fade. Instead of hard, broken soil, she felt as if she were floating on water. She glanced towards the sky, the hot star that warmed this planet, this so-called project. She saw a face. Black eyes stared into her own. Black locks of hair waved in the hot breeze of the passing Verkatray.
You failed, Opal. You cannot stop the Verkatray. It's inevitable.
I couldn't let them do their work. I just couldn't. Not like this. Not anymore.
She gasped and coughed, the dust and smoke of the decomposing Var scratching her throat and lungs.
It's our job, Opal. It's what we were designed for. When the Commission has decided, it is up to us to execute.
Opal felt her body rise, as if being lifted and carried. A moment later, perhaps it was a moment, perhaps longer, she watched the blue light of the slipshot envelop her, comforting her, wrapping around her like a cocoon. And then the world where she once stood between an advancing Verkatros and a small child faded away until all that was left was a dark, empty space, quiet, featureless, unimportant. That was Chapter 1 of Slipshot Volume 1.0. For updates on new chapters, visit slipshot.io.